Good morning. We bid you welcome in the name of the Lord. We are delighted that the Lord has gathered us to his house once more on this very cold and very nippy fifth Sunday after the Epiphany and Super Bowl Sunday, too. Just a few announcements to commend to your care. If you ordered Super Bowl subs, the orders are available for pickup downstairs in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. I will be down there after service to help, and I might wrangle one of the youth who's here to help out with that. Board of directors will meet this Tuesday evening, so keep eyes open for email invitations to Zoom. Mary and Martha Guild will meet this Wednesday, also at 9:30 a.m. in the fellowship hall. And then also the Board of Social Ministry has their Super Bowl of Caring free will offering set up in various places in the narthex and then towards the office if you would like to consider giving to the food bank causes of Mid-Missouri. I think that's just about it this morning. The Lord's richest blessings to you in your worship. May his Holy Spirit richly attend you in word and sacrament. invite you to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his command, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing to the Lord. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. But I have trusted in your steadfast love.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
I will sing to the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the Church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom, then, will you compare me, that I should be like him? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Okay, I want to get this over right away. Happy Feast of Super Bowl. We're done with that. I don't have to mention anymore, do I? Grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you, dearly beloved of the Lord. So when a pastor goes to a house, and they're going to be a meal, oftentimes people will turn and say, okay, Pastor, will you pray now? Or if you're downstairs, doesn't matter where you go, Pastor, will you pray? They just ask that. Well, that kind of happened with Jesus today in our reading. Jesus is just got done in the synagogue, and he tended to do that. He goes to synagogue after synagogue after synagogue. Whenever you come to a new city, he would always go to the synagogue. He would start there. On that particular day in Capernaum, he was teaching at the synagogue. He cast out an unclean spirit in the man. And then after that, he goes on that Sabbath, that Saturday, to Simon Peter and Andrew's home. And when he gets there, what is there is Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and she has a fever. And notice what this text says. And immediately they told him about her. Immediately. Oh, you're here, by the way. And what does he do? He goes to her, and he takes her by the hand, and he lifts her up, and the fever is gone. It is so thoroughly gone that what does she do immediately? She gets up and serves them. Usually when you're sick in bed for a while for a fever or other things, you get up and you feel better, but you're still kind of weak, but not her. So thorough was that healing that it's gone. She can get up and even serve them. And then when the sun goes down, and it's after the Sabbath now, the people start coming to their house. And they're coming from all over the city, and they're bringing people with various diseases. And what does Jesus do? He heals them. He heals the sick of various diseases. Well, that's great, but what about today? What about today? Does he heal us today? Has he tended to Simon Peter's mother-in-law and to the sick of that town? Does he tend to us in healing? We know that he teaches, that he taught during that time, and he preached during that time, and he does that today, doesn't he? We see it in Paul in the Corinth, right? Preached. We see it that whoever listens to you listens to me, we're told in Scripture. So he sends out teachers and preachers, and they go out in his name. And that we see today. But what about healing? What about healing today? We know, I would say, that there are people with all kinds of diseases, right? Oh, there are various diseases today. There are people with fevers and flus. There are people with cancer and COVID. There are people that have muscular dystrophy and MS. There are people who have heart attacks and weak hearts. We have those with high blood pressure, and we have diabetes, asthma, Alzheimer's, dementia, bipolar, schizophrenia, whether it's mind or body, and we could go on with the list. And I'm sure I haven't even named some of them. Well, I know there's a lot I haven't named. But Lord, where is your healing today? Because as he made a house call on Simon Peter's mother, wouldn't it be nice if he made a house call on us when we're sick and ill and have that healing? And if not that house call, look, I bet you many people would be willing to go to Capernaum to that door of Peter and Simon Peter's house and Andrew's house. They'd be willing to go there. Even though it's in ruins today, they'd still go there. If Jesus said there, you would be healed. Because when you're healed, you're able to walk again and serve again. You're able to leap again. You're able to walk again. You're able to do so many things again when you're doing well. With that physical and that mental healing. So what about today, Lord? Will you tend to us today? Well, you can go out there, and there are preachers out there that will tell you that they will heal you in Jesus' name. They will heal in Jesus' name. And if you come and you're not healed, you know what they usually say? You didn't have enough. That's horrible. That's horrible that you would tell anyone that. Because we are told that even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So instead of healing them, they have caused their souls to despair and lose their faith in Christ. They call it faith healing, but you don't need faith. Probably just cash on the barrel head will be fine. Of course, I have to tell you, I also want to tell those faith healers, because you see them, hey, how about healing yourself? I see those glasses you have on there, buddy. Or if you can't do it, you could at least exchange with another faith healer. They could heal you, you could heal them, and look, no glasses, no contacts. It's horrible that they do that. So you don't want to go that route. That's not the route of Jesus coming to us, even if they do it in his name. But he says, many will come in my name. They're charlatans and they're deceivers. Now we could look at healing. Maybe the Lord tends to us and gives us healing through medicine and also through modern science. And he may. And he does, and that's a gift from God. But it's not that miraculous, is it? It's kind of a natural thing. But it also sometimes doesn't work. Or even if he gives us prayer, how many times do we... Have anybody seen our prayer list? We put a few people on there. People in our congregation. People in our congregation are connected to others. There's a long list, isn't it? But we have the privilege to take their name, their baptism name, and go before the throne of grace and ask God to intervene on their behalf. But sometimes we don't see that. We don't see it here. We don't see that intervention. Well, I think we need to go back. Let's go back. My Bible keeps turning to Habakkuk today. I don't know what to do about that. It did it in the first service too. So we need to go back to Jesus. And what does he do? He heals the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. But he also heals those in the town of many various diseases. And they have that in common. They're healed by Jesus. But do you know what else they have in common? 10 out of 10 of them surveyed are dead today. 10 out of 10 of them are dead today. Why? Because something else got them. Some other disease, some other sickness, or just the wearing out of the body. Something got them. So does that mean that there's a limit on Jesus' healing? Did he stamp? Well, okay. Well, I'm going to heal you today, but he's going to stamp on them and say, but in 38 A.D., Tuesday in January, that's it. It expires. That's not it. We need to understand what they are. You see, healings and miracles were signs, the signatures, if you will, that God is here. And it points to something greater, what he will do. Pay attention to him. Notice him. See him. Connect him to the word of God and find out who this is. And that's what he called the people to do when they did those things. And yes, there was a time, but it was pointing to something greater, something that would not expire, that wouldn't end in death, and that didn't have a limit. Well, what is that? What is it that he was tending to? What is it that he cares about? What is it that he was going after? Well, let's do it by getting at it with the questions. Every human being in history, in the past, in the present, in the future, what is it that they have? What condition does every one of them have in human life? What is it? What is it that affects every single one of those human lives? That it gets to every part of their life. Whether it's in their homes or at work, whether it's in their church or it's in their country. What is it that affects every relationship that they have? Whether it's in the family, whether it's coworkers, whether it's the people sitting next to you in the pew. What is it that affects and infects every single bit of it? What disease do we have that's in common? Sin. Sin is what causes pain and suffering and death. Sin is what causes problems and troubles. Sin is what caused those things. Now, I'm not correlating that you did this, so that's why you did that. Now, sometimes you can correlate it. You get on your motorcycle and you drank too much and you crash. We know why that happened. But I'm talking about in the world itself in general, sin has caused all these things into nature itself. And so that is what Jesus goes after. Now you can look at something like Psalm 51, where David is talking. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Three different ways he used the word sin, that thing that gets to us, that thing that infects us, that thing that does damage, that thing that causes pain. First, he calls it a transgression, crossing the line, like trespass. We've crossed the line. Then there's iniquity. That is that we're rotten to the core, the very core of us, to get to our very heart. There you see that tainting. That's iniquity. And then he just uses the word sin, a three-letter word, and it means the idea of missing a mark. We missed the mark. So one way or the other, whether it's rotten to the core, crossing the line, or missing the mark, the Lord has come for that. And he tends to us what causes the damage and the problems and affects our life. That's why Jesus came. Isaiah 53. Beautiful passage, lovely passage, one of my favorite passages. Someone did a cross stitch for me of this very passage that we have hanging in our living room. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed." Sometimes the other translation says, "By his wounds we are healed." His wounds heal us. His wounds bring healing in the family. His wounds bring healing in the country. His wounds bring healing in our church. His wounds bring healing at the workplace, because he went after the cure that we needed for our souls. And it has no limit and no expiration date at all. There are some that imagine that says, I've heard about Jesus. I know about the forgiveness of sins. Tell me something else. Okay? I'll tell you what. I'll stop telling you about Jesus the day you stop sinning. So, I'd never give homework in a sermon, but this week I'm going to give homework, okay? This week, don't sin once in thought, word, or deed. By what you do and what you don't left undone. Whole week, that's all I'm asking. 7 days. Figure that out. What is it? What is that? 168 hours. Can you do it? So you do that, and you come back, and I won't talk about Jesus. Deal? A deal. All right, good. It's a deal. You're sinning already because you're saying that sermon's going way too long, I can tell. You can reach in, and if you're still flesh, we still face the world. And we need Jesus. And we need that cure for the soul. And that's what he's come for. You see, does he not care about the body then? Did he baptize your body? He cares about your body. Does he give into you his bread and wine, the body and blood, the Lord's Supper into your body? He cares about your body. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And Job tells us, "With mine own eyes I know I will see my Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives." Of course he cares about your body. Because he died in the body. He was buried in the body. He rose in the body. He ascended to heaven in the body and reigns in the body, and he will return in the body. But he went after cure for our soul. And the soul is the nephesh, the whole thing of us, not just the spirit, but the whole of us, body and spirit, body and soul. He went for all of us. And that's the gift for us. And do you know what? He may not make a house call, but he did make us a new home. And there he will be with his arms open wide, pierced hands to greet us and welcome us home. And we will have perfect healing of body and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, even one Son of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in the Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son, who is the Father and Son and the Father of the Church of the world.
Let us pray to the Lord who has dealt bountifully with us. We give thanks to you, dear Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, that through him the gospel has been preached, casting out the works of Satan and the corruption of sin, which we could not overcome. By your word, rescue us from every evil of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, give to all Christian homes the endurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, that husbands and wives, parents and children may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their courses in this life, and continue to the end in the holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable wreath of life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, creator of the world and its foundations, you hold might over the powers of nature and the rulers of the earth. Graciously preserve our land, its produce and industry, and our leaders together with our people. Do not disregard us for our sins, but renew us, that our lives may be peaceful and our country governed according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son is the great physician of body and soul, at whose hand demon, disease, and every ill effect of sin must turn away. We bring before you those who are in need, especially Marion, who is recovering, Charles, Jeff, Archie, Keith, Joyce, Lou, Kathy, Herb, Michael, Gary, Doug, Jean, Willis, Sue, and Barbara, who are recovering, and John and Perlene, Esther, Bob and Norma, Lee, Carol, Betty, Vida, and Teresa, who are at home, and Erica, Ken, Nicole, Elka, Arla, David, Russell, Timothy, Sammy, Carol, Brandon, Dennis, Alvin, Yvonne, Vera, James, Michelle, Michael, Julia, Sandra, Weston, Charlene, Richard, Tabitha, Lavino, Jessica, Emma, Faith, Phil and Beverly, Kylie, Elizabeth, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Linda, Joni, Shirley, Callie, Jim, Emma, Sarah, Anthony, Christine, Kelsey, and Ruth Ann, who are contending with health issues. And finally, do we ask your healing hand upon those managing the effects of cancer. Merritt, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, Kelly, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Norman, Brianna, Linda, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Helen, Susan, Anna, Rachel, Teresa, Nancy, Suellen, Sonia, Brad, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Carrie, Elle, Al, and Jan. These and for all whom you know are in need of your care, do we commend to you, merciful Lord. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ. Thank you. body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.